Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rod Gontos.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Rod, coming at you from The Rod Life in Orange County, California. And today we have a couple of great guests, a gentleman by the name of Bill Baskin, and he's a fellow San Clementian, so I'm going to give a little shout-out to San Clemente, the Spanish village by the sea there, you know, hometown. And with us, joining Bill and I, will be Abby. She's joining us by phone from the Bay Area, right?
From San Francisco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going statewide, Paul, today.
I like that.
You like that?
And we'll have to get Abby to say her last name. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name here.
I know. I tell people just to go with Smith, but it's Tegnalia.
Tegnalia?
Hey, yes. I think I win the kitty, Abby. I had it right.
I thought it was Smith, but that's okay.
Abby Smith. Abby, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And to give a little background, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves, but I'm going to say how I met Bill. Bill, how long have you been in San Clemente, Bill?
About 13 years.
13 years, right. And he happens to live just down the street from where my folks are. Now, I didn't meet him by walking down the street and running into Bill. I actually met him on social media.
You just wander the streets when you go visit your parents?
I do, actually, yes. Every once in a while, I just need to get out of there and get some air.
That's why we have a neighborhood watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Gee, thanks, Bill. But anyway, funny enough, I met Bill on social media and on a San Clemente group, and we got talking and found out about a lot of stuff in common, and then ended up saying, yeah, I'll come by and drop by. It was like a Friday or something. And he's like, well, what's your address? Oh, you're just like a couple of houses down from my folks. So anyway, interesting for me was that Bill is actually the owner, is a publisher?
Publisher, owner.
Head honcho at Now It Counts magazine, e-magazine mostly?
E-magazine and website, nowitcounts.com.
Nowitcounts.com, which I really like the way, and I hope you guys keep it, the destination for Americans 50 plus.
Ooh, I like that. So we're going somewhere.
Yes. Yeah,
we're not running out of steam. We're picking up steam. Going somewhere.
And that's exactly why I like it, Paul. You know, that word destination really is actually going to make me feel like I'm going to go on vacation when I start reading your article.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to be 70.
Okay, maybe in a couple of years. So, Bill, why don't you – I mean, I asked you this before when we were talking, prepping for the show, but how did you end up doing an online magazine? And I've seen some of the print. You know, you guys run a small issue run, but it's pretty nice. What struck me was it was like a lifestyle magazine with a lot of, you know, helpful content, and it's very much geared towards 50-plus, and I can – now say 50-plus because in January I turned 50, so, you know.
Wow, you're going to join us all here.
Yeah. So why don't you give us a little background on how you find yourself doing this?
Sure. You know, I've been in the online media space since 95 with, you know, started with Otto Beitel off MacArthur here and, mm-hmm. and you know, been in that space for a long time. And a couple of years ago I turned 50 and, you know, all my friends, great guys that they are, got me an AARP card for my birthday. And
wonderful guys, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, so obviously, you know, 50 in my mind at least changes things. It changes your perspective. You're starting to look in your 30s, you're making a lot of excuses. In your 40s, you're telling everybody you're in your 30s, but when you turn 50, you know, the prospect of, you know, retirement and you know, kind of life after 50 becomes much more tangible and much more real to you. You know, you're no longer lying to yourself that I'm still in my 30s, even though you're still 20 in your head.
Right.
And, you know, so I got this AARP card, and I actually joined, and I started getting this content, and I'm like, wow, this stuff's all geared towards my grandparents. Mm-hmm. I'm 50, I'm active, I surf, I ride motorcycles, you know, I have a lot of very active hobbies, I still feel like I'm 30, but I'm 50, right? And there wasn't really anything out there that kind of addressed what I felt was what our demographic really is, right. You know, in the modern era. And, you know, there's 10,000 baby boomers a day that are retiring now.
What? And say that again, that statistic?
10,000 baby boomers a day are retiring.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Turning 65 at 10,000 a day.
Yeah, and you know, even Europe has an even bigger aging population.
Absolutely.
Than America does. And, you know, I just kind of looked around the landscape, and there just wasn't anything truly geared towards active, full of life, vibrant,
right.
You know, 50-year-olds, because, you know, previously we've always been categorized as, okay, send them to the home.
Right.
And, you know,
God's waiting room.
God's waiting room. Right, exactly.
That's a long waiting room, though, if we're going to live to be 100.
That's,
you know.
That's the other reality, is it's no longer, you know, a short couple of years and then you're done. It's actually a longer, drawn-out period now.
Well, yeah, retirement can be, you know, or at post-50 can be 20, 30, 40 years.
Exactly.
Now, right? So 50 is almost midlife. And, you know, I was looking at the AARP content, as I said, and, you know, it was just really, and I was getting the magazine. I'm like, God, this content's not really in depth. It's, you know, the brand's really not there. They don't really do a lot of great lifestyle stuff. You know, it's geared towards my dad, not me.
Right.
And we thought, hey, there may be an opportunity in the marketplace to kind of liven this up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the website, and you know, our original editor-in-chief was Richard Perez Faria, who formerly did People Magazine in Espanol.
Right.
And we brought in a big lifestyle and beauty component. And, you know, we see anti-aging all the time on TV and radio. You know, all these anti-aging this, anti-aging that.
Especially California.
Yeah. And, you know, our attitude was, no, it's not anti-aging, it's pro-beautiful.
Right.
You know, it's like, let's change the mindset on this thing a little bit.
Right.
You know, we're not quite dead.
Right.
As they love to say in Monty Python.
Another reason why I get along with Bill.
Yeah.
Monty Python, you know, references are welcomed on this show at any time.
Never mind.
Don't get me started.
All right. Here we go.
I'm getting better.
But isn't that what the baby boom is all about? That's why we did this show and started it. Because we redefined every other age we've gone through. We redefined what it was like to be the rebellious teenagers. We redefined what it was like to be 20s and rebellious and youthful. Then we suddenly became yuppies in Wall Street and 40s and whatnot. And I don't know what we're going to be, but we ain't going to be what everybody expects us to be.
Oh, no. And it's funny because the current issue that that they have at Now It Counts is actually, I'm sorry if I mix this up, guys, but it's like 50 most powerful Americans.
Most influential. Most powerful and influential Americans, right.
50 plus. Right. And if you look at that list, I was just talking to Bill, you know, it's astounding. These are icons that are celebrities in one industry, medium, whatever, that have redefined themselves at every step of their life,
right.
You know, in their 30s, their 20s. You know, Robert Downey Jr. is on that list. And it's like, you know, you think back Chaplin, you think back, you know, all the issues that he had then.
Now
he's
an
Iron Man.
Yeah,
and it's right. Like, you know, and so I don't know about you, but when I was looking through that list, I'm going, you know, I kind of like this company that I make, maybe, it, you know, intellectually can keep because of my age association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the same at all.
I don't know if he's on your list, but Rod Stewart comes to mind. He had Maggie May and hits in the 60s and then the 70s and
right.
Then the 80s. He did disco, and then all of a sudden he's doing the Great American Songbook, and he's still redefining himself as he goes on. I don't see many performers today having that sort of longevity. Maybe that's a sign of our generation and how we can adapt and change.
Give the website again, Bill, because I think people can look at it while we're talking.
Yeah, it's www.nowitcounts.com. And we have a number of different channels there, you know, lifestyle, beauty, travel, money. We do a lot of in-depth stuff on money, Social Security. You know, at this age, listen, I'm not retiring anytime soon, but I'm certainly thinking about down the road.
And how much money is it going to take to make it to 100? Lucky us, we're going to be 100. We're the first generation that's going to make it to 100. How much money should... I had this discussion with a friend of mine not long ago. He's getting... I'm a little older than you guys. I'm going to be 60 in January. And my friends are getting much closer to that magic point. My wife's going to be 65 this year. And all of a sudden, we're saying, I ain't got enough.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
right.
And that's a huge problem. You know, statistically, Americans who are going into retirement have, on average, $141,000 saved for retirement.
Which, if I was only going to live 2 or 3 years like you used to 20 years ago when you retired, maybe that's okay. But now I'm going to live 22 years.
Huh. Oh, yeah. We're
do the math on that one.
Yeah. Right. As a country, we're woefully unprepared, you know, right. for this crisis. And And, you know, people need to start really thinking about ways out of the box. And, you know, we explore things like reverse mortgage and other things that can or Social Security, how you can maximize your Social Security right. benefits. You know, a lot of people hitting their 50s and 60s are contemplating second careers, mm-hmm. You know, mentoring type things, ways to create income through, you know, what could be a 30 or 40 year retirement potentially. Sure. You know, it's almost a whole nother life when you get yeah, right down to it right, in terms it of your age, because there's no childhood in here. So it's all adult. It's almost as long as your life
right,
was. So
yeah. Right.
And you know what? And now it counts. Uh-huh. And now it counts.
And now it counts.
It didn't count before.
I think he said it twice, so I don't know what the rate goes for that. But
exactly.
Keep count, Abby.
I will.
Abby,
you talk about that a lot. You know, if you come in and make all these changes at the age of 50, when you do retire at 65, at 70, at 90, we have a story coming up, you know, it can make a huge difference what you do between the ages of 50 and 60 or 50 and 65. So we really do, you know, explore that a lot and talk about that a lot.
Now, have we explored who Abby is and what her connection
well,
is?
Well, I was about to, but, you know, when she so strongly weighed in on that one, I wanted to hear
that.
Everything she was had to say.
I'll sit back and let you guys talk about how great that is.
So you're the editor of the publication?
So I'm the editor right now. Yes, I've been with
Now. So maybe a little later, not. But
well, actually, hold on a second. You know, God, you know, Paul does this all the time.
You reporters,
right isn't it straight? It's like just delving into there.
Yeah.
Bill, how did you bring Abby on board?
Well, Abby originally came on as an editor for Travel and Leisure, mm-hmm. and extensive career as NEIC in previous magazines. You know, as a contributor, writer. Well, Abby, why don't you tell us your background, just so everybody knows the breadth and depth of everything you do.
And don't leave anything
sure.
out.
Yeah,
start with high school.
Yeah, I'm going to spray you.
No, the founding editor-in-chief and I are very good friends. He and I met in Las Vegas, where I recently moved to the Bay Area. And I was the editor-in-chief of Vegas Magazine, which is kind of the luxury lifestyle magazine for Las Vegas. And he was the editor-in-chief of a business publication, so that's where we met. Mm-hmm. And so I've done lifestyle for my entire career. And I've done a lot of celebrity stuff. So I worked at Us Weekly, not to age myself on this program, but I was part of the team that actually made Us Magazine into Us Weekly. It used to be a monthly.
Yes,
so
I remember
it goes
that.
Back way a long time ago. And so when Richard and Bill were starting this magazine, I came on right from the beginning to cover travel and celebrity and entertainment. And I just love it. I mean, you know, we've got this great audience there. And you know, I keep saying, you know, maybe we don't want to hear about Miley Cyrus and what she did at the nightclub last night, but we still want to hear about celebrities. And, you know, everyone's traveling right now. All of my friends, their kids are just now out of high school and they turned 50 and now they're ready to go. And this is their time to, you know, see the world. And so it was a really great niche to come into, that was the travel and the celebrities.
Abby, I want to come back to that specific thing, because you and I had kind of talked about that a little bit yesterday. But Bill, you told me something that was kind of interesting. I think it's very important, because I've said it a number of times here, and you know, with people over the last probably a decade since I've been involved, sort of with, dare I say, senior related industry. But the dare I say is because usually the word senior is not something we want to throw out anymore, right?
No.
Yeah, it's not a senior center; it's a wellness center now.
Right.
But I've always said that the person who actually can find that magical combination of making aging, if you will, or getting older, cool, continue to be cool and in its own right, is just going to make a killing. That there's actually direct impact to the bottom line. And when you look at all these celebrities, like I said, that are listed in your, you know, these people are not going to stop being influential people, right? 10 years from now, it's just the personality that they are. And so coolness is going to associate with them into their 60s, into their 70s. There are a lot of older celebrities that did that, you know. But I think there's a bigger volume of them now that are going to be dealing with that.
Look at Tony Bennett singing with Lady Gaga, for Pete's sake. I mean, talking about redefining yourself here, and the guy's got to be in his 90s or whatever.
I went to that concert on New Year's Eve. Thank you.
Did you? Yeah, see?
I sure did.
So you didn't start out doing a lifestyle magazine. Right, started out in a different direction.
No, when we originally started this thing, we were much more geared towards helping seniors kind of redefine what their retirement might be by providing a lot of much more specific financial and other types of content.
Nuts and bolts, kind of, you know.
Yeah, a little more. Yeah, definitely a little more nuts and bolts, pragmatic. You know, hey, you're 50 now. This is what you need to start looking at and thinking about.
Right.
And, you know, this went on for a number of months, and we kind of had a product that was pretty dry, to be honest. And we realized that, you know, it wasn't really quite meeting the needs of what our vision was in terms of, you know, as you like to call it, the coolness
factor. It wasn't cool enough.
Well, you know, listen, I think our readers are cool just because, not people over 50 are cool,
right?
Because that's just how we are at 50 now, right?
We're
in our primary earning years. We're, you know, we have life experience behind us. So
seasoning.
Yes.
we refer to the gray in our beards around, in this room as seasoning.
That's right. Snow on top for sure. But, you know, it's... So we were missing an element, and when we originally brought Richard in, and you know, his experience from People Magazine, mm-hmm. you know, we really changed the direction. So we still provide that nuts and bolt content,
right.
Except what we do now is provide a lot more lifestyle content, mm-hmm. because, you know, people at 50 plus, people in the 50s and 60s and 70s are mm-hmm. very active now. They travel. They, you know, food is important. Beauty is important. You know, maintaining themselves mm-hmm. is important. You know, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I'd look at a 50-year-old, I thought it was somebody's grandparent.
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, they could be 30, 40, you know, a wide variety of ages.
That is a totally different show.
It's a totally
different show. Yeah. We're going to need to bring you back to talk specifically only about that and looking at people now versus looking at them before. Yeah, I can relate the same way. I looked at people and I said, oh, my gosh, you know, I've got so many years before I get there.
Right.
Right. And you said something about, you know, feeling in your 30s. I've asked people, actually. It's funny because I'm kind of older than a whole bunch of my friends. Mm-hmm. So in the last 6 months or so, you know, I kind of became 50, and then people that were at my party became 50. And so, you know.
You're a trendsetter.
Yeah. I got older first, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, every time somebody becomes 50, turns 50, I ask them, I say, so how old do you really feel?
Mm.
And the answer comes in anywhere between the range of about 35 to 37. It's not mm-hmm. even hitting 40. It's kind of interesting. In your own head, that is the age you are.
You know, what's interesting to me is when you looked at my father's generation, I'm, again, a little older than you guys, so my dad was in World War II, that greatest generation. When he got to be 40 even, he wanted to wear the suit and tie. He wanted to look older and mature. He wanted to fit into the corporate culture. So he wanted to start wearing the hats and smoking the pipe and all. He wanted to take on that persona of mm-hmm. the wise executive. He didn't want to look like a kid anymore. And if you look at the three of us in the room, we're all got jeans on, and you know, we still look like we're dressed in college here, kind of. So I think there's a different perspective where we're still looking... We don't want to necessarily take on some image of old age.
Well, it's no longer as systematically defined as it used to be.
Yes,
you know,
right.
Forget the pipe, for example.
Right.
But the person wearing fedoras is my 8-year-old nephew.
Yeah, right.
Right. And the person with the wax on their mustaches, turning them up, you know, is also got the tats on one side of his arm and wearing a vest and a jacket and
driving a rat rod. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So that it's kind of like blown apart any of those parameters.
That's true.
Right. And what's cool, and when I encountered that magazine the first time, Bill, and I said this to you, I think I may have mentioned it to Abby even yesterday. I looked at this thing and I went, wow. It's not the same size proportionately, but it has the same vibe as like a billboard magazine. It has the vibe of something like that I can feel cool about, you know, walking in or be flipping on my tablet or something and looking at all this stuff. And you guys do a great job on the depth of the content, and it's not like a lightly veiled infomercial or ad rag. It genuinely is good content, lifestyle content. And so... I now understand the pedigree, you know, the people that you brought on board, and, you know, it wasn't cool enough the way it had it before, and so you decided to go down this direction. It's amazing. Abby, can you maybe fill in on what your experience has been so far with the magazine and where you think...
And how long it's been out?
How long has it been out?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're about a year old now? So?
Well, we're a year old in the current iteration. We're about close to 2 years old from inception.
Ah, okay. Okay, perfect. So I came on when with the changeover. So we have a really, really, really great team, and you know, we sat down and we decided that these were the, you know, the areas that we really felt strongly about covering, and we thought that they were important to this age group, but also that everything had changed for this age group. Like, you know, beauty and celebrity, you're just not writing the same stories as you would for someone in college or a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old. And so we cover all of it. We cover the finance. We cover celebrity travel. Beauty is huge for us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I didn't wear my sunblock for 20 years. No problem. We'll start now. Right. And, you know, we just cover, and then lifestyle, you know, it covers everything. But, you know, we just really have that vision, you know, us and all of our friends who are 50 years old. And like I said, the kids out of high school. And it's like, now what? Now I can go start and do all these fun things. And so, you know, all of our travel things are things that, you know, for our age group. I mean, it's everything. So anything that you do in your life, I mean, we cover all of it.
Now it counts.
Well, now it counts. You know, I had when I first saw that, I tend to lean towards a one name thing. So when it comes to branding, when I saw that, it kind of took me a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of took me a minute, but it's actually pretty empowering. If you really kind of embrace it, it's like, now it counts. Now it counts, meaning, you know, you need to be serious, but now it counts also, you know, make sure that what you're doing you really enjoy.
Well, there's no time to waste.
That's maybe the difference. Now you know well enough that there's no time to waste, and you're armed with the seasoning and the wisdom maybe of having, you know, survived till this point in life.
Carpe diem. You know, seize the day, because now's the time, right? It's,
right.
I mean, we're not getting any younger. I mean, at some point, AARP is going to make perfect sense to me. You know, hopefully that's 20, 25 years from now.
Yeah. Although saying that, Bill, though, it's interesting because they went through a reinvention and rebranding or attempted. We've talked about this before. We don't necessarily understand why AARP becoming ARP, you know, like a sound that happens when, you know, a seal is in the water or something, that actually, you know, is a better brand approach. But but visually, when they, especially, I don't know, Abby, if you've seen this, there's an ad that they run where it's like a woman in power heels and she's walking and she's very empowered and, you know, it's almost like she's in a financial district and it's like if you think da 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 da, if you don't know da da da, then you don't know ARP.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they're playing off the "you don't know Jack" basically approach.
They're
right?
Trying to be a little cutting
they're trying
edge
to be cutting edge and hip, but it's
That's the thing. They're trying, right? They're trying too hard. We don't even have to try, because just saying the words "now it counts," you just automatically stand up straighter. You say it a certain way. I mean, I'm listening to you guys. You know, even just the way you say the word "now," the way you say the word "count,"
now,
you can't even say it without bravado.
Right.
You know, we don't have to try. We don't need a woman in her power heel.
No, and I love it, because I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of
they're trying too hard.
And you know, like when everybody went green, right? And we have a show coming up next week about sustainability. Everything is green, you know, and. You know, you look at something and it's green, but it's in a plastic container or something. It's like, you know, there's green and then there's greenwash, what they used to call greenwash. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably the same thing with this, is you really have to, it has to resonate to your core if you're going to pull this thing off authentically, versus you're just going to slap another coat of paint on it, call it something else, and try to pitch it with a younger face. It just doesn't fly. People, I think, especially in this generational group, they're pretty, not necessarily cynical, but they can see it. Like, if you're trying to pitch them something that's veil thin,
they smell fake.
They smell fake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What we write about is topical, and we're living it every day.
Right.
This is the world we live in and how we embrace it as active. Again, not going to use the word seniors, but I mean, you know, that's the old.
They used to say active adult.
Active adults. But I mean, that's the old definition. You know, to me, a senior is somebody sitting in a home somewhere, you know, waiting for the clock to run out, right?
Right.
At 50 and 60, I look at my dad at 70. I mean, you know, he's sailing every day. He travels, you know, and he's in his 70s. By any previous definition of a previous generation, you know, he should be sitting in a lounge chair somewhere, not getting up.
Don't
every
move
day.
Too fast. You might break something.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, part of it is, you know, the world has changed. Part of it is things have gotten easier. There's different technologies now that, you know, that people in our age demo, I mean, everybody's on the internet now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that commoditizes everything. That expands everybody's reach and opens their eyes to a lot of new things if they're open to it. So the world has changed, and we've changed with it. And, you know, I think what our magazine does is kind of address that change and the current relevancy of that change. You know, where you know, some other pieces are, they're kind of stuck in the previous generation and how they define their brand. Right. And that's why they have a hard time transitioning, because it is hard to, you know, it's hard to change a brand once it's established.
You know, Bill, right. I used to spend, I mentioned this to Abby, on the commercial design side, I used to spend a lot of time with high-end hotel chain firms, names, you know, W, Four Seasons, whatever. And I found it was very interesting. There's a generational shift that happens, right? And there are people that talk about, you know, we're going to be, when W came around, everybody wanted to be that W hotel, right? But mm-hmm. your infrastructure and your in-house culture, because of who populated the topper tiers and the epsilon, was trying to put on that coolness, but not really fitting it like a suit. It just, something was uncomfortable. And it took about one, you know, almost a decade for when those people transitioned out and people came in that would, it fit them more, for making that believable. Up till that point, it was feeble attempts that most of the time failed.
It was lipstick on a pig.
It was lipstick on a pig. Let's call it what it is. You're absolutely right.
It wasn't real. People really want real these days. That's why the internet and social media and all that stuff exists. They want real. It's okay if it's not perfect, but just make it real.
Well, and Paul, now you see why I asked Bill to be here today, because it's exactly the same philosophy that when we talked establishing this show, it's the topics that we are living, we are involved in today, and how we're doing it, and yet there's some difficult stuff to talk about, and we avoid it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. We don't want to face it. And in fact, the one word that I think needs to change above all else, and I'm waiting for somebody to redefine it, is old.
Right.
If you say to anybody that's 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, I don't care. I don't know what age you accept that adjective old. But most people our age and the baby boomers resist that passionately. So we talk around it. We don't have a name for what we're going into.
Which is an opportunity.
An opportunity,
Abby, when we come back, I think we're going to take a break, Paul, right?
Yep.
Sure, here. Okay. When we come back, would you guide us through or take us on a journey, if you will, on sort of the travel side and some of the areas that you're seeing sort of paradigm shifts in? That
sure.
could be of interest for people to hear about. I know you and I talked about a little bit about the cruise industry, for example.
Yep, sounds great.
Thanks, Abby. Thanks, Bill, for joining us.
We'll be
right back.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
And now back to our show.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us after the break. If you're just joining us for the first time, I've got Bill and Abby here from Now It Counts magazine, nowitcounts.com, I believe, right?
And this is the part of the interview that counts, because we're down to the last 20 minutes here. So
now it counts. Now it really counts, yeah. The first half an hour, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. But we were just talking during the break, Bill and I, about the fact that it's interesting. We have this language that we've inherited, this language library of how we term and define things now that we are older, right? And yet it doesn't fit, right? So even though it's pervasive and even though we are feeling it on multiple levels, the way that we describe it and talk about it, or maybe not talk about it at times, you know, the language, the vernacular isn't there yet.
Right.
Yet to define it the way we are living it.
We're not senior, we're not aging, we're not old.
So it's an interesting philosophical...
I think you're right on to something. I think you really nailed on spot on here, whatever the analogy is. You nailed it on the nose.
Mixing metaphors happens there all the time.
But sign of aging, getting old.
But really, we don't have the language. to define what it is that we're going through.
Yes.
Even though we know on an instinctive level or on a feeling level that we are living it in a different way than our parents did. So it's kind of interesting that your magazine is providing sort of maybe an almost like a pioneering spirit of trying to put this together in a way that is meaningful for this generation. The same way we're kind of trying to do that with the radio show, mm-hmm. by saying not only will we talk about stuff that's difficult, but also explore. We don't necessarily know where we're going to end up, but we're willing to take the journey.
I thought that was so cool when you came up with the term age explorer, because I think that's really where we're at. We're exploring this new age here. We're not sure where it goes, and we know there's challenges attached to it, but there's also opportunities. And that idea of exploring this phase rather than avoiding it or pretending it's not coming is a difference. And I think that's really what you're talking about. What I sense both of you are doing is forget defining it. Let's just explore it. Yeah.
Let's just be it, really. And it's kind of mm-hmm. funny because, you know, strap me in. I mean, if you had asked me 20 years ago, no, not about strapping me in. But if you asked me 20,
you probably would like that 20 years ago.
If you asked me 20 years ago, I'd have to have a safe word, Paul. Okay?
Yeah.
But if you asked me 20 years ago, would I feel sure of myself, confident at this point in my life the way that I do? I would have never had the ability to understand what that felt like. And yet I find myself now in a situation where it's like, literally, I don't need to know where I'm going. All I need to know is that I'm going to take this journey, and I feel comfortable enough and confident enough that I will get to wherever it is that unfolds, and it's going to be an interesting journey. And this is kind of how I'm relating to where I'm at age-wise right now, and I don't need to know. It's like I don't need to know that that's the destination. All I know is that I like this, the way this journey is unfolding, but I don't have the language necessarily to define what I'm experiencing, right?
Well, the language doesn't exist as, you know, as part of the problem.
Exactly. That's the point.
You know, it's like, no, I'm not old, I'm seasoned,
right?
Or I'm not
old,
I'm experienced. You know, we're all those things,
right?
But, you know, when you get to this age, it's like you have the experience to kind of look back at your mistakes and your experiences of dealing with people and dealing with business.
Yep.
You know, you've probably, you know, worked your rear end off to get to this place, and you're kind of in that point now where, you know, hopefully you're doing a little bit better financially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you definitely have kind of the wisdom that comes with the years of experience, but you're not ready to be put out the pasture yet. If anything, you almost feel like you're just starting your life, right? Because now's the first time where I have, you know, maybe the time or the money or the experience to go out and do the things that I've really wanted. You know, as opposed to traditionally, we're on our way out to pasture at this point. So there is no vocabulary that really addresses where we are, because in history, we've never been here before.
No, we've never been. Right. Exactly. You know, you said your father sails. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I need to finish my sailing certification, but I will tell you, I've always loved being on the water, and for me, the first 40, 50 years almost seems, to a certain extent, most of the time, was the wind was blowing and I was just holding on for dear life, right? And right now, it feels like I have a little bit
you
more time.
You just described my life for the last 40 years.
Exactly.
I'm just holding on for dear life.
Holding on for dear life, right? But now, all of a sudden, I feel like not only do I have the ability and the right to basically claim that space, that place at the rudder or the helm,
mm-hmm.
but I actually have a little bit of skill set of how to navigate it.
Mm.
Not necessarily knowing what shore I'm going to land on, but knowing that I'm actually safe in the water, not only for myself, but everybody around me.
Well, speaking of landing on shores, I mean, you know, that's why we write about travel so much, because, you know, I, for one, love to travel. To me, visiting other cultures, experiencing other cultures, and, you know, engrossing myself in other cultures and the food and the people and the experiences, that's one of the greatest of life experiences, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we write a lot about travel, and you know, Abby can certainly speak more to this, and maybe probably should, but this is the time of your life where it's time to get out of that box and you know, and seize the day and experience everything you have, because we have a lot of time left,
but it's also, you also know that you don't have all the time.
Well, I heard an interesting thing the other day on the radio. You know, it was a headstone. I was born, I blinked, and then I was dead.
Wow.
You know, and
oh my gosh!
Wow.
Well, I mean,
that kind of says it all. Though.
Wait to bring the show down there.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, life goes
it's
by.
True.
Blink as long
Absolutely.
As it is, it's a blink of an eye.
Right.
You know, because I mean, right? We all look back at 20. It's like, God, it seemed like it was yesterday.
And it wasn't. It didn't. It never moved this fast, did it?
Right.
It just seems to move faster and faster every day, right?
Yeah. Well, that's technology making us 24/7.
Yeah, oh my God.
You know, the other thing I sense about this age that I didn't sense 20 years ago is I don't care what others think so much anymore.
It's true.
I'm willing to do what I want and the hell with everybody.
Right.
And I'm not worried what the neighbors think anymore. I'm not worried what my boss thinks. I'm not worried what my friends think.
Well, I think that's that sense of self that only really, you know, you can pretend you have it, you can sense you have it, but there's a difference when knowing you have it.
Yeah.
And being humble enough about it to know that you're also not bulletproof and in that there's more to learn. I think it's an interesting spot to be in, you know. You know what you know, but you also know there's a whole bunch of more to learn, and you have a hunger to basically maybe...
I worked in the celebrity industry as a press agent, as I've said before on the show, and many years ago. And I always thought there was a difference between the stars who'd been there a while, the old guard, the Jimmy Stewarts or whatever of the old era.
He's older, ladies and gentlemen.
He's older. And the young one that just came up who was trying to prove and be something. You know, you don't have to push as hard. You don't have to prove yourself when you get to a certain status. You don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to do all these things that you think you do when you first arrive.
You know, we had a bunch of guys around this table, and we, I think, had a little bit of a man cave moment when we were all talking about how used to be, and to a certain extent before, used to be that, you know, you had to be clean shaven.
Yes.
You had to be competing with the younger bucks that are coming up, you know, and all this stuff. And it seems, and I don't know, you know, we work for ourselves, so maybe it's different than in
three
corporate
bearded
environment.
Guys
but
in here,
but
yeah.
Basically, you know, I'm totally cool with not doing that, and it's okay. And I think society is actually, and maybe it's because there's so many, the boomers kind of moving into that age bracket, that it's now become more acceptable that you don't have to be that lean person. You know, you don't have to have everything, you know, coiffed and, you know, your hair dyed. And I remember old Ronald Reagan, you know, not showing up in front of a camera at all without some sort of polish, you know.
People say to me all the time, because I have a very white beard, and they say, well, you'd look so much younger. And I say, well, why do I want to look younger?
Exactly. So, Abby, I promise I'm going to give you a lot of airtime now, but you know, we've kind of
you asked her a question.
We
got to it here.
To you guys.
We seem to dominate this. I really want to know what you're seeing in terms of travel destination. You know, wellness resort. You know, wellness. I know that, like, for example, wellness tourism is a big deal. Hmm. You know, what are you encountering? What do you have your fingers on? What's of interest to you that you're pursuing?
Where
right
are we
now?
Going?
Sure. Well, I mean, you guys have covered it really well in that this is the first generation that really, really wants to travel after the kids are out of the house, right? So you've got these empty nesters that are just dying to go on trips. And some of them may know how, and some of them may not. Some of them just all of a sudden have all this time or the right budget. And so we've really enjoyed, you know, writing about travel so much. But, I mean, the difference is you're talking about wellness vacations. Last week I went on a hiking tour, and there were maybe two people in their 30s. Everyone else was in their 50s and 60s, and it was a half day of hiking. And then, you know, they kind of plan everything out for you as far as meals and everything, and they, you know, they get you there. Mm-hmm. They do the airlines. They do all of these things. And so we're seeing a lot of those things. People want to get out there, and they want to do stuff. They don't just want to show up and go see a tourist site. And then actually we were talking yesterday about more and more single people traveling over the age of 50.
Right.
And, you know, some of that is single people, and some of that, maybe they don't have the same interest as themselves. Right. You know, my mom, you know, is always going on these huge trips, and she's done it for 10 or 15 years.
Right.
You know, our example yesterday of the Christmas markets, but we have written about cruises a lot because, you know, people like that. They know what they're doing, and the whole thing is kind of planned for you. Well, now these river cruises are all the rage, and a lot of them are around a theme. And maybe it's the Christmas markets in Europe are huge.
Right.
Most of them are women without their husbands. And so now, you know, how do we get that market, those people who want to go out and explore on their own, regardless of if they're actually single. And so they're making it easier to do that. You know, things are a little bit less expensive. You don't have to do a double room. You know, all of these different options are out there. And there's, you know, sky's the limit as far as travel.
So a lot of the companies are having to go back and reassess how they basically build stuff, how they package
Absolutely. That, in fact, the trip that I was on last week, it was their inaugural trip. I mean, it's the first time. So really, there's a lot of exciting stuff out there. The Viking cruises. I mean, you can't blink without seeing one of those commercials. I mean, that they are just hammering it out. All these new ideas and new cruises and new places that they're going. And,
what about educational stuff? I've read for a while that mm-hmm. the boomers of a certain ilk don't want to just go take pictures of the Eiffel Tower anymore. They'd much
Absolutely.
Rather go someplace and work in an orphanage or take an educational trip to the South Pole and learn something. And there are lectures sure. that go along and other sorts of things. It's a learning opportunity, not just a checklist mm-hmm. or a bucket list.
Yeah, and they have those cruises now, too, even. Not to get back to the cruises every single time, but, yeah, you get off in a place, you have a lecture about it, you're taking classes, and that all goes back to, you know, staying as fit as you can as you get older and, you know, keeping your mind as sharp. You know, now that, you know, you're active and you're fit and you're going sailing or whatever you guys are doing, you know.
Right, right.
But, you know, to keep your mind going also.
Or altruistic stuff.
Sure.
We've had people on the show, people who've retired executives, and suddenly they find that they want to go help an orphanage somewhere. Or they want to, there was
right.
a guy here that raises money to give wheelchairs to people in third world countries and or mm-hmm. Doctors Without Borders and stuff like that, where they're going to do something to of some service. And they're actually paying
yeah,
to do it.
Yeah, it used to be that, the, you know, Peace Corps and all these other things were kind of the only option for that, and that's a huge time commitment. There are tons of things that you can do for 7 to 10 days. I mean, all over the world. And, yeah it's a great way, because then you get to hang out with the locals, you really get to experience that culture, and you're giving back, and it's satisfying, and you're learning. I mean, it's what kind of a perfect vacation for
And that seems
people.
Like the reversal, where once upon a time that was for 20 or you came out of college
right.
and you went in the Peace Corps and you got that yeah. over with, and then you got married and serious and got a job and a mortgage. Now it seems to be an end, well, I was almost going to say end of life. Uh-oh, there was a bad terminology. A later stage.
It's almost like round two.
Round two, round, yeah.
A lot of these people did that when they were younger, and then they started a family, and then they, you know, are really into their career, whatever it is, and now all of a sudden they realize that maybe the career isn't as important as they thought, or the kids have graduated, and there's an empty nest, and so now we're doing it again.
You know, I mean, I want to remind the listeners, if they're not in that age bracket themselves, that, you know, we're talking about a group of people. We term them baby boomers, okay?
Right.
Now, there's really boomers, you know, there's ones that are late boomers, maybe just after 60, you know, the end of near 65, 64, 65. And then there's also the Gen X after, right? But we're talking about a group that have basically literally shaped cultural landscape for more than 60 years.
And changed it.
Absolutely.
And changed it. I mean, you know, we forget that a long time ago, for example, you didn't have even, you know, pregnancies at a later age in life. You know, and all
right.
of a sudden, then you know, there was the fertility clinics and all that
right.
stuff that happened. So
second marriages, third families, whatever, yeah.
Right, and we've talked about, you know, mixed families and,
yeah.
and combined families and now multi-generational families even, you know, where not necessarily is it the couple that, you know, well, if they're traveling apart, then they, you know, maybe the relationship's on the rocks,
yeah.
right? But in fact, if you look at the profile definition of people that are of that generation, they have a sense of themselves. Okay.
Right.
So the fact that they maybe go do different things, that may not mean, it may actually mean the exact opposite, that their relationship is healthy enough to have that personality.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, that where somebody can pursue a pursuit.
I'm curious you talked about beauty, and that seems to be the one ugly word as we get older here. Is there such a thing as 50-year-old beauty, 60-year-old beauty, or are we still trying to recapture our youth here?
Two words, Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
We love to talk about Christie.
Sophia Loren.
Sophia, I don't know about that.
The beauty, it's more important now than ever, honestly. That's kind of how we've been going at it. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I didn't take care of my skin until now, so I don't have to. Or too late, or
right.
all, it's not true. If you're gonna, like, you're talking another 40 years, that's 40 years of skincare that you could make
yeah.
a huge difference. So, you know, we write, you know, it's a big part of what we write, actually.
W.C. Fields, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's interesting, you know, and I'm on the very, very tail end of the, you know, the baby boomers. I was born in 63. So, you know, I think it ends at 65, right? So
64, technically.
So technically,
I'm not a boomer at 65. But, yeah, I mean, it's
I like how you
make
that distinction.
I did. I just yes, old man.
I was kicking you down the street. And get away from me, you kids.
No, but, you know, when I grew up, it's like, you know, I was watching TV, and it was, you know, Walter Cronkite and Leave It to Beaver. And, you know, and that generation was very much in a box.
Yeah.
I mean, the rules were laid out. You followed the rules, and you know, you lived that life,
yeah.
right? And you know, my first conscious memories as a small kid were, you know, peace marches in San Francisco and acid rock concerts in Golden Gate Park. And
you probably saw my picture. And
well, you know, my parents were kind of quasi hippies while he was going to dental school.
Yeah. By the way, Paul is not joking.
No, I didn't think he was. But I mean, you know, they not only broke out of the box, they kind of determined there is no box.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, they self-realize and you can be anybody you want to be. You can do anything you want to be. Or anything you want to do, and aspire to almost anything. And you know, as they aged and got into their 50s and 60s, and now had the wherewithal and the means to do those things,
yeah.
You know, they're seizing the day and they're doing it. And right. And you know, that's what our magazine tries to reflect, is that, you know, there is no more box. You can, at 50 and 60, you can be whoever you want to be, and you can do whatever you want to do, and you can still look amazing doing it. You know, and you can experience things that previous generations never had the opportunity to experience. Mm-hmm. You know, because the internet has kind of opened the world and commoditized everything, but it's also the ultimate explorer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Americans didn't really travel a lot.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, we went to Europe, right? But yeah. Now we go all over the world because yeah. we can see these amazing destinations yep. and aspire to go there, and we do, mm-hmm. you know?
Let me ask you one question with a couple of minutes left here. You talk living outside the box here. Talk about the new media landscape. Talk about being outside the box. How do you market a magazine in a world where there isn't necessarily newsstands?
Very good question, yeah.
Well, yeah, and that is the challenge. I mean, it's, you know, it's content is king, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, the internet has taken over print, at least in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a bias because I've been doing, you know, online media for 20 years, but content is king, and if you can write relevant, original content, you know, so much of what we read now is recycled. I mean, Google any topical story of the day, you'll see the first 30 pages of Google filled up with the same story rewritten by some guy. You know, and that's the path, unfortunately, a lot of sites take, is they just keep regurgitating the same
right.
the same content. You know, we chose to do strictly original content, come up with our own stories, you know, and that makes it much more relevant and much more unique. Now, we get picked up by Yahoo Finance and Motley Fool, and, you know, there's a lot of people actually...
Huffington Post.
Yeah. There's a lot of people grabbing our content and using our content now for their own websites,
right.
which... You know, on the internet is the ultimate compliment, really.
Right.
If it's a reputable site, and that's who's picking us up. So, you know, we're definitely
and
making
also
our mark.
Talk about marketing. Social media is really big with the baby boomer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to be surprised by that, but very, very, very active. On
I think you'll find the power of podcasts. Just doing this podcast when it
right.
comes out, people are. This is a long form storytelling medium, and I think it allows you to explore these issues. Just as you're doing in a long-form publication.
Well, it goes back to it's on my terms.
Yes.
It's when I want it.
Yes.
You know, it's not being pushed at me. I'm pulling it as I need it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can delve into it as deeply as I want. So I think, again, it's sort of it's all about me, you know.
That's been a mantra for our generation.
It's a mantra for that generation, which is great, actually, because it's very empowering, I find. I think what you guys are doing and what we're doing in a small way, too, is trying to empower people to say, you know, you're not the only one feeling this.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's actually okay, and it's cool, and it's a great place to be in right now. It's a great spot to be in, the now.
Mm-hmm. And as he said at the beginning, think of this as a journey, as not just a destination, but a
well,
journey.
That's why I love that word in the descriptor under the name,
mm-hmm.
is that it's the Now It Counts magazine at nowitcounts.com is the destination for Americans 50+.
Yes.
I'd argue not just Americans, by the way, because your content is not just American.
And as we redefine this age, we'll talk about this in future shows, but we've already had other shows on talking about import-export and stuff and how China, as they have suddenly rapidly changed their society and their aging, how they are going to have to adapt their culture and change, too, with suddenly fewer people younger because they had a one-child policy and more people suddenly older than they've ever had before.
Right. So, Abby, anything on your radar screen currently that you're working on that we should know about?
60 seconds.
We're working on so much stuff. You're going to have to check us out online to see in the next week or so.
And please, everybody who goes to nowitcounts.com, subscribe. It's a great way to get that information. Definitely, you know, submit your email. It's safe.
And it's free. You'll get delivered the e-magazine for free.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is put your email address in and get all the content at no charge.
It really is great content. It really is, guys.
Amazing.
Abby, thank you for joining us from San Francisco.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
And we'll look forward to having you on.
You have to come back and give us some future updates and reports on the trends that you're seeing and following and tracking here in this time when it counts.
We'd love to have you guys back for that.
Yeah, sounds great. We'll be here.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.